This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details. Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
Was Beck, and the song was called Wow. And the reason why we chose that song, my team, Jacob, Adam and the gang, we've selected that because today's show is Wow. Here's what the show is called, said by a guy who's actually employed to say stuff.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.
And then this is the kind of format point in the show where I play a music bed, and that's kind of radio jargon for a piece of instrumental music which is kind of broadcast at half volume with my voice at full volume with words that go over the music. And what it does is that basically it makes comedy on the radio fly, because if I just did it lean and clean like this, wild, naked, unprotected, I don't know, it can just be, it can hang in the air a little bit, it can get a bit tumbleweed. But if you do this, everything seems to work. Yes, indeed. This is Mark Dolan Eats the News on FUBAR Radio, the UK's largest ad-free online radio station. It costs you nought, and we think it's fab. Here are the big week stories, ladies and gentlemen. Let's crack on. Apple have announced their brand new iPhone. It's called the iPhone 7. Now, controversially, it ships without a headphone socket. There's no headphone socket on there. This is part of a trend that Apple have of removing obsolete aspects of the hardware. Now, there are rumours the next iPhone, the iPhone 8, won't have a phone bit. Those guys are amazing. Now, it's been a tough old week. We've had quite a lot of bad news. The world is never without tragedy, is it? But surely the most tragic story has to be that Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston have broken up. Jake Pickford not looking happy.
No, distraught.
Yeah, distraught. I know. You've got nothing done.
This is the first I've heard of it as well.
Yeah, well, that's, you know, you could just feel it in your water, couldn't you?
Yeah, blindsided me with tragedy.
My lovely friends, there you go. So, yes, indeed, Taylor Swift and Tom Hiddleston have indeed broken up. I've been looking into why, because I have time on my hands, and it's how I roll. And here's, well, I do it because I have to for you guys. It's for the show. So, basically, there are various reasons. One, apparently, is busy schedules. Another is too much press attention, which is never going to be helpful. But apparently, the main reason why it didn't work is that their names didn't go together very well. Hiddle Swift, I'm just not feeling it. Swift Hiddleston, Taylor Hiddleton. Oh, hey. Jesus.
Hiddleton.
Sports Direct, who are my favourites. Sort of cut price leisure wear retailer. I don't know where you stand on the Sports Direct thing, Jake Pickford.
I'm a fan of TK Maxx.
Are you? You go for the Maxx?
Yeah. Well,
look at you, Mr. Moneybags. The drinks are on you.
Love the brands.
Well, Sports Direct have promised to improve their working practices for employees, including getting rid of 0 hours contracts, paying overtime, and letting staff out of the cage for up to an hour a day. Labour MP Keith Vaz has quit as chairman of the Home Affairs Select Committee after a gay sex scandal. Now, I've got to say, I lived in Leicester for 4 years, and he was a great constituency MP. He always bent over backwards for me. Homophobic?
No, not at all.
Just a bit of good old-fashioned carry-on innuendo,
yeah,
in it.
Yeah, exactly.
In it. I love the gays.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'm very pro-gay. I'm a gayophile. Do you know what I mean?
Is that the term?
It's the only a-file I am.
Is
the gay-a-file, maybe a Franco as well, but that's it.
Yeah, well.
That's where I draw a line on the file vibe.
I like filing cabinets.
God, yeah, well, they are enjoyable, aren't they?
That's where I draw the line.
Do you know what, though? The problem with the modern world is you don't really have, like, sort of these cabinets and filing cabinets and stuff anymore, do you?
The iPhone 8, getting rid of the phone calling, they're actually replacing it with a filing cabinet
in the back.
An actual
heavy, bizzly thing have come on board.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
With drawers that pull out.
You drag it along with the phone.
I needed to get a prescription for my glasses yesterday and contacted a cut price website, probably called Glasses for You, with the number 4 and then the letter
of
U.
Of course.
Because nobody does full words anymore, because we're all so busy, there isn't time.
Yeah, the numbers all the way.
And I tried to call. Have you noticed how, you know, the really, really cheap websites, they actually don't have a phone number.
No, they don't have any.
So you go to contact us. And, you know, if it's like a big company like Tesco, you can normally speak to someone, right?
Yeah.
But these guys, Glasses for You, they've got obviously email, no problem.
A form on their website.
The form. How depressing is the form?
No one looks at.
When are they ever going to see that form?
You just feel your, you feel how much you care about your complaint whistle away as you're typing.
That form will be shredded by the tax accountant that's overseeing the liquidation of that company when it goes bankrupt in about 10 years' time.
Exactly.
So I go on these this form and it's contact us, which I'm not going to do. Then there's a number. I'm like, yay, got a number. So you know how it's quite nice on smartphones where if there's a number on a website, if you press the number, it sort of magically rings that number, which I love.
Mm.
And that is, I mean, that's definitely magic.
Yeah.
So I do that, and then the most amazing sound comes, which is...
Like dial-up.
Basically, fax.
Yeah.
So Glasses for You are still rocking the whole fax thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's nice, though.
They still enjoy the faxes.
Has that come back round? Is that like a hipster thing that people are
faxes
using?
Faxes are totally back.
Yeah.
Telex on its way.
I just fax people saying, you want to come for coffee?
We've got a slight problem at the moment. It's not really a problem. It's a lovely problem to have. My son, who is 11, wants a mobile phone.
Hmm.
Now, that's a dilemma for a variety of reasons. One, because a mobile phone contains a world of horror, whether it's the internet.
Pornography.
You know, look at mine. I mean, mine is obscene.
Yeah, it's riddled with porn.
It's riddled, isn't it?
Yeah.
It actually keeps breaking just because of the bad stuff that's on there.
Yeah. It's like, no, Mark, you're not allowed to look at this anymore.
Because I tried to, the other day, I wanted to text my Auntie Claire.
Okay.
And it just said soapy tit wank question mark. Do you know what?
Autocorrect. You just wrote hi.
I'm going to take this phone to the Apple store.
Yeah.
And probably what will happen is what happened to Gary Glitter when he took his laptop to PC World.
Hopefully not.
I sincerely hope not. Remember, the only a-file I am is a gayophile and a francophile. The thing about the gayophile thing is I've always thought I'm supposed to be gay. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Look at me, for God's sakes.
You have a certain flamboyancy and
well, it's so nice of you to say that. I just feel like my body is what I would describe as gay ready.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do you know what I mean? I feel like the hardware ship gay.
Like you would fit tight leather nicely.
I often walk on stage. I heard one guy mutter recently. He just said, built for penetration, that guy. We went for drinks after the show. It was a very
just
warm
drinks.
Evening. And the rest. So we don't know whether you should have a mobile phone or not. We're very concerned about that. So you've got that. But then on the other hand, it's useful because your son can call you and say, hey...
I've been kidnapped.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Gosh, you really are like the prophet of doom, aren't you? I was thinking more like, you know, the bus is late. Can you pick me up? But no, you've got him in a full hostage situation.
You've got to consider the worst case scenario for these things.
You've got hardcore pornography on his phone. And you've also got, horrifically, my son, just a hold up with some Romanian gangsters.
Whoa, I'm drinking.
It's actually a Romanian gangster who said, built for penetration. So yeah. They're not all bad people.
No, just the ones kidnapping people.
A lot of them are misunderstood. So, now look, here's the thing. So we'll crack on. I've still got more material, by the way. This show isn't just thrown together, you know.
I like the intro at the start you did where you explained what you were going to do, but like Stuart Lee-esque radio.
I try. You've got to compare yourself to someone. So the £5 note. The £5 note has gone public. Shall we just start again and pretend that didn't happen? The £5 note has gone plastic. Do you know about this, Jake?
Plastic?
Yeah, basically, the Bank of England are reissuing the £5 note and it's made of a sort of polymer thing.
Why?
Because the existing £5 notes are a little fragile. They're the ones that mostly get recalled. They last on average 2 years.
How will poor people do cocaine?
That's a big old... And rich people too. Oh, yeah,
well,
the £50.
Yeah, much bigger.
You're ahead of me. You've actually thought this through.
Oh, yeah.
So what they've done is they've reissued it, which is very, very exciting. And I'm thrilled. Kerry Godman's in the house, by the way. She's just going to walk straight in. You go straight on the radio. That's the magical world.
Hello.
It's great to have you, Kerry.
Sorry, I'm late.
What? Don't you dare be sorry. Do you know what I just think? I think when Godleman arrives is when you were supposed to be here.
Right, I like that.
I feel it's a hashtag...
I'm on time, you're all too fast.
It is really. It's sort of hashtag Kerry time.
What a lovely thing.
It is. Now tell us briefly, don't worry, I'll give you a chance to gather your breath. Jake's probably taken your drinks order, I'm hoping.
No, he hasn't. What a fail. No.
Kerry's a mother of many children, so you'll just have brandy, won't you? Just Martell brandy without ice.
Not drinking this week.
No,
I went to a party at the weekend and I'm still very slowly recovering from that. So I have to have a week off.
Well, the thing is, you and I are in our sort of that ballpark of late 30s, aren't we? Should we put it that way?
Yeah, let's call it that.
And therefore, we're in the world of the 3 to 4 day hangover. Am I right?
Yes, I call it fun tax. Yeah, I pay hard fun tax. So if I have a good night, and it's worth it sometimes,
of course
I know
it is.
I have to pay with 3 or 4 days of deep existential despair.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not just physical symptoms of tiredness or headache.
All kinds of mental health problems. Can
it
come
really
up.
It is. It's quite. Whereas look at Jake. Jake's about 11, so
he doesn't have these
12,
problems.
All right, yeah. But I quit drinking. When I was 6, so you know.
I'm glad to hear it. It's great to have you. You came. I'm going to blame London's transport infrastructure.
I live on the other side of London, and I do that thing. Do you do this where you think, oh, you know, I say pop. Like I even looked at the website here and it said 2 minute walk from Caledonia, and I'm
lovely.
That's not 2 minutes.
No.
People lie about timings.
Yeah. I don't know how they calculate that, but someone from Google Maps is on roller skates or something.
Yeah, exactly. They've got like massive Landstrider legs, and I don't understand how they've worked that out.
Or what are those things that explode on airplanes? They might be using one of them. Yeah, well, oh, dear
Lord. I am guilty of lying about distances. Like, I live, I'd say, if I'm honest, don't tell anyone, but I reckon I live a good 15-minute walk from our station. But if people are visiting, I'm like, 5-7 minutes.
Yes.
Just pop around. It's really near the station, and it's total.
So you're like,
crap.
In a sense, you're like your own estate agent. You sort of yeah. exaggerate.
We all spin our lives, Mark.
Of course we do.
We do yeah. what we have to do.
Well, you got me around to you because I enjoyed a dinner party with you some time ago. And you had on the basis that you were near a flagship Waitrose.
I lured you in.
I got there and you had this weak excuse. You said, oh, it's a Morrison's now. Sorry about that.
It's like, there's no things change fast.
It's a Morrison's
that's a
now.
Harsh downgrade as well, you know? That's yeah. not even like Waitrose.
But you know what? I was grateful to you because although I ate food that hadn't been ethically sourced, I was laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, there we are. Yeah, win-win.
And do you know what we're going to do? Now, look, the music bed, that's amazing. The music bed, so we kind of play music under the chat. Like, well, you came during the comic monologue.
Oh, God, did yeah. I disturb that?
You didn't disturb it. It's not like...
There's nothing worse than
it's not like I've had to address the
monologue.
Fact that you've walked in, deal with how you got here, why you don't live near a fucking Waitrose.
Did I enhance the comic monologue?
You massively sure. did. If I'm honest with you, it was Saved by the Bell. Don't you think?
It was dying a little bit.
Jake was struggling.
Nice feedback.
Jake was doing
dying.
That thing. You know when comics tell you the jokes they did like at the previous gig and you have that rictus grin where whatever they say, yeah. you're going to laugh uproariously.
Oh, or not. And go, it is funny, but I don't laugh in that way anymore. You know how you don't laugh at gigs? Like when you're younger and you go to gigs and you're really keen, you sit up the front and you're like, yay! And then you become a comic and then you stand at the back with a deadpan Easter Island face.
Mm. I'd completely agree. I'm always slightly puzzled by comics that like just laugh uproariously at stuff all the time.
What are they? They're weird.
They are really. Because it's basically akin to, I used to be on the broiler at Burger King in my student years.
Happy days at...
And that was and up till that point, I was quite in awe of the flame grilled patty.
But now,
I mean, even now, 2 decades later,
you can't unsee what you've seen.
You can't really, and it's not like anything unethical was going on, but there was just a lot of it. And I feel that for us comedians, mirth is the equivalent of a charred.
We've seen all the lack of ethics that have gone on, and it's corrosive to your.
Comedians are actually very unhelpful with their feedback because they only laugh when you deconstruct stuff or go really dark, which is not where the audience are at.
Yeah. Or when you're really upset and angry about something and they go, that was hilarious, you should use that.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I'm having a breakdown.
Yeah, correct.
I'm going to kill myself. Don't tell me to use it.
You know what? So we got like a lot to talk about. Big stories in the week. But you're on tour at the moment.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about that.
Good.
Because I'm one of Britain's leading Kerry Godleman fans.
Oh, I love this.
It's a
is
lovely...
Is this sincere, Mark?
Obviously.
Right, okay.
Obviously.
I don't want any BS.
You know, I'm obsessed with you. You're a genius. The tour, what's it called?
It's called Stick or Twist.
Lovely. Why?
Well, you know how these things can work. On one level, it's about whether to leave London or not, because I've lived in London all my life and I'm thinking about quitting. But actually, it's about sticking or twisting on a lot of different things.
It's a point in our life, isn't it?
We're
in that. My elderly neighbour called me middle-aged yesterday.
I call myself middle-aged, and then the other day someone went, us middle-aged, and I was like, no, I don't like it when other people say it.
Yeah, that's exactly
it's like
it.
Slagging off your mum or something. You can't do it. I have to own it. But I suppose if you properly sit down and work out the maths, we are middle-aged.
Yeah, let's be honest.
If we're lucky, we're middle-aged.
But it's funny, we're in denial of that because what's annoying is that, Jake, you are a young man.
Yeah, but I'm
in your 20s?
I'm 27, which is far
more deadly. That's a lovely age, isn't it?
No,
but what's annoying?
Hendrix,
oh, yeah,
Amy
but if
Winehouse.
You can just get through this sort of death window, you're going to be fine.
Scary year for me, though.
Yeah, no, it's
know?
Bad, it's bad.
I would say, though, I know Brexit hasn't been great, but it has caused an easing of the celebrity deaths.
Oh, yeah, it's taken the heat off.
And I'm not sure why. But I think other celebrities so angry, it's given them
they've
energy.
Alive.
And a bit of an adrenaline thing.
Yeah, Mike, that's a good theory.
Someone big died the other day there, right?
Bake Off?
We have.
Or a programme?
A human, not a
because people were tweeting about Bake Off like that was a death.
Well, look, I tell you what then, let's sort out a few things. First of all, it's great to have you. Okay, so Single Tweet is lovely and it's a great title and amazing reviews and everything. What's harder... A 20-minute gig in front of a drunk crowd. Shall I try that again?
Luckily,
it's not live. What a relief. What's harder, an anonymous circuit gig where they haven't paid to see you and they're drunk and they're mainly here because of Claire's birthday?
Right.
Or, and the microphone is hokey and the lighting is a bit, like, yeah, it's not on you.
And they're very, 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 very drunk.
And
I know these
quite
ways.
A lot of food is arriving while you're on.
Right, mm. Yes.
Like trays of
stags,
just like,
hens.
All of that. So you've either got that or your own show, This Is It, Here I Am.
12 loyal fans sat there.
Stop it. Stop it. And they've booked a babysitter and we're going to see. Which is harder?
What do you think? I mean, the latter is gorgeous. The latter is the one, isn't it?
Although that
no, I want to play to a bunch of people that don't care less about me.
No, but then again, you see, yeah, but that defines you as a star. Is because
I know what you mean. And I do like playing rowdy rooms and clubs and winning them over and having that kind of 20 minutes, you know, ride the Bronco stand-up experience.
Yeah.
But I think if you want to go a bit deeper, I think the long form is the way forward. And when people have chosen you, they're prepared to sort of wait to hear what you have to say. Mm. Whereas when you're in those rowdy rooms, they're like, be funny now, be funny now, be funny now. And it's got to hit hard.
But in credit to you, though, you make it look easy. And but what you do have, which you don't really have on the circuit, is I wonder whether there's the pressure or expectation. Because people are like, we're going to see Kerry tonight, we've booked a babysitter, and, you know, do you... I mean, that's obviously something that drives you and lifts you rather than... But
both
I wonder whether that is
good.
A challenge.
It is a challenge, and you don't want to disappoint people, and you work quite hard on those shows and stuff. But that is the beauty of the job, isn't it? That you get to have both experiences.
Exactly right. And you're never going to completely walk away from the circuit.
No, I don't think so, because I think that keeps you at the coalface of funny and it makes you sort of toughen up.
Yeah.
And I think the jokes that you can do in those rooms are always the spine of the long form shows, really.
Mm. Totally. I mean, I had a run at the festivals here, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, great.
And it was great. But then I came back and I was on the circuit. And after 10 minutes, I feel like I'm doing my sort of hour long pace.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and I'm thinking,
they are
different
creatures, aren't
they? And the audience are like, whoa.
Yeah, they're checking their watch. They're FaceTiming other people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm in front of them, and they're using an application on a smartphone to look at someone else's.
That's a devastating blow, isn't it?
It's shocking, isn't it? So therefore, I thought, oh, I'd better pick up the pace a little bit here.
Just speed it up.
Maybe even tell them a joke at this point.
It's wise to get one in quite early before you lose the room, I think.
So you're doing the tour. It's nationwide.
It is pretty nationwide, although I've had some heat back from Wales. Because I'm not going there. But I didn't route the tour. You get companies to do that, don't you? They do.
No,
that.
Well, of course, but
and
Wales
maybe they're racist.
Is just,
they might not want me to go to
Wales. You're keeping your Welsh powder dry. I think it'll come.
When I hit Wales, man, they're going to know about
well,
it.
Well, you've become a legend in Wales because of your refusal to perform.
I'm worried they're cross with me.
I think
Welsh.
They are.
And it's weird because they come up in my show. I talk a little bit about national pride, and I've always been a bit ambivalent about my national heritage. And every Welsh person I've ever met is fiercely proud of their heritage.
Well, yeah, so you were born... Were you born in London?
Yeah,
you were
born
Londoner,
in London.
Born
always have lived in London. That's why I'm thinking maybe to go somewhere else.
Well, yeah, and is this to do with replacing compact accommodation with a sprawling
ranch? Well, there is that. There's the old
for the
little
same money.
Right move, little wander through right move. Yeah, maybe give the kids some room to stretch out. And
how many do you have now at the latest
two?
Count?
I've only got two. Right. How many have you got?
I got two as well.
But why are you exaggerating?
But when they've got behavioural disorders, it feels like seven.
Mine are extremely well behaved. I caught mine last night, my 9-year-old. She had her iPad, she had an iPad in bed last night, and I just...
Ooh.
Is that a behavioural disorder or is that just normal?
Well, it is normal, but you have to be seen to be really cross about it.
I am cross about it. I'm not having it.
Yeah, well, we were talking about earlier, I've got a dilemma. My 11-year-old is at secondary school, just gone in.
Oh, wow, big time.
And that's a big moment.
Big change.
Because suddenly he's hanging around with 18-year-olds and stuff.
Well, that's rare and unusual. Is he super cool?
Well, he is super cool. His nickname is Bieber because he looks like Justin Bieber.
That is cool.
He is ridiculously...
It is if you're 11.
Oh, I guess
it might
so.
Not be if you're 18.
For me, it's deeply troubling.
Yeah.
But he's one of those... Yeah,
is he liking it?
He is so much more urbane than I am.
Right.
He's cool. He is acknowledged by older kids at school. It's remarkable.
That's amazing.
It is. But he wants a smartphone. And my dilemma is, on the one hand, a smartphone is a world of trouble.
Yes.
The internet, everything else. But on the other hand, it's a GPS tracking device and I can work out where
he is at
any
point.
Well,
that's the hypocrisy of parenting, isn't it? That people are like, no, I don't want you to Google porn. However, I do want to be able to stalk you.
Just
track them. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Just chip your children.
Can you chip them?
Yeah.
I'm sure it's just a matter of time.
Solve that problem.
Yeah.
That's resolved.
No porn in chips.
Yeah, so this takes us. It takes us. So we are here. There's a lot of stuff to talk about. Let's crack through a couple. We're going to play a record in a second. But what about this, which is the arrival of the new iPhone 7, which is a fanfare of publicity and everything. Is there going to come a point where we're going to stop upgrading our technology? Do we need this device in our lives?
No.
I don't have it, and I couldn't give less of a toss about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are you working with at the moment?
I have got an iPhone, but when I recently upgraded, they offered me the all-singing, all-dancing fancy one, and I was like, no, that's just going to stress me out. Mm. Sometimes I think, at one point, maybe when they do get too sophisticated, a way of selling them to us middle-aged people will be offering a downgrade, and how much of a relief would that be to
great.
You and me?
So
if they went, look, we're going to take you back to the Nokia days,
oh
I'll be like,
God, that would be
yes,
so
please.
Nice. Predictive
and
text.
If they charged me double for it, I'd go there. I'd be like, yes, let's go backwards. I'm all for nostalgia.
Well,
I want Snake back.
You can download it on the iPhone. It's nowhere near as good. But the thing is, it won't necessarily that we'll keep on upgrading the phones. The phones will just change the form. So there'll be little chips that you put inside your hand that will project on things. There'll be contact lenses that you can put in your eyes that you can start touching screens in the air,
oh
and it'll be all sorts of crazy
is
stuff. They're already working on it. No.
I don't think that sounds good.
No, it's not good. It's part of the sort of phase into the neo-evolution of humans where we start becoming half human, half robot, and where we start being able to pay for things by waving hands, sort of Matrix style. And it's not a bad thing because it just means that we'll be even less connected and more distracted by electrics.
That sounds awful.
Yes, it's terrible.
It sounds like a dystopian hellhole.
It's nihilistic.
Exactly it
but have humans always been scared of that sort of... I mean, I've seen Back to the Future 2, so I know about projecting on the future.
That's basically a documentary about the future.
It's a documentary,
really?
Yeah, about hoverboards and stuff, about 2015.
Yeah. I know.
And haven't humans always been scared of the future?
We have. They actually, when they first had trains... The public were worried that their heads would like get damaged or explode just travelling at that speed.
Well, when they first watched a film of a train coming towards the camera, they all ran away because they thought the train was going to run them over. So there's always
I did
been
that in
that
Jurassic
anxiety.
Park, so I can relate to that. I think, well, look, so you basically are like, in terms of in or out, iPhone 7 out.
Well, I don't like being manipulated by the Apple marketing sort of juggernaut. And I hate that way of like feeling like you've got, you're only cool if you've got one. I'm very cynical
of
that.
I don't know, I'm a bit torn really, because on the one hand, I just am amazed at how specifically Apple have changed the world.
Yeah.
For me, two companies really changed the world, which is BlackBerry and then Apple. Now, the reason why BlackBerry did is because it was the first phone that had email on it.
Right.
So I don't know if you
I
had
never
a,
had one of those.
So that was the big thing. And then Apple came in, and Steve Jobs only created the iPhone because he was so irritated at how bad phones were. And in his head, he just thought, we are a computer company, we make computers, I don't make smartphones or I don't make phones, but aren't they rubbish? And in the end, he's like, maybe we should just for fun, as like a pet project, why don't we muck around and create something just internal?
And
that was the birth of the iPhone. And on the one hand, I think life is so much cheaper. For example, do you remember having photographs from holidays, taking them to Boots?
I don't mind all that.
And all
I'm happy
the,
for that. I'm happy to go down there. Well, if I've finished mangling the laundry, I could go down there on a horse and cart and get my film
Sony,
done.
Sony Walkman,
auto reverse. You know what? I'm very nostalgic about. That's what I mean about that sort of desperation to be in
as kids, we weren't cluttered with technology, were we? We had a chance to get bored and stuff like that.
No, exactly.
The worst for me, I mean, notwithstanding your daughter being cheeky with the iPad, although I see when my kids are naughty like that, I'm outwardly angry but privately delighted.
Yeah, because they are normal.
And also that they're showing a bit of initiative and they're being slightly criminal. And we know that, I mean, there's no way you'd have a career if you weren't quite a bad person, which
you're absolutely right, but
God
I don't want to discuss my hypocrisies with my 9-year-old kid.
She's very sort of sunny and bright and you know, convivial, but
hugely dysfunctional.
Inside
there's some bad shit going on. she goes on the internet and grooms, and I think, and it's unusual, really. So
we don't talk about that.
All right. Well, in that case, let's just say that the iPhone 7 is out. A couple of other things. What about body odor? Is body odor out? Because the Japanese are very concerned about it, and it's a great story. And it's essentially that it's a company who have cracked down on what they call smell harassment, and order whiffy workers to clean their teeth at lunch and use deodorant. Should there be, Jake, some kind of punishment for smelly people?
It's a bit harsh, isn't it? Really, I mean. Obviously, everyone sweats different amounts, and you know, there are medical disorders and things like that as well. You know, I think that You don't want to. What you don't want to do is you don't want to criticize someone to the point where they become depressed and they end up like killing themselves as a result of.
God, that's exactly what I want to happen to them.
Is it?
I travel on the tube regularly, and there are some people that it's like a weapon. It's a weapon of mass destruction, the underarm.
Is it that bad?
Oh, it can be.
I don't come across it very often.
Yeah,
and then when you do, I'm with you. I sort of think,
especially on the tube,
it evokes sympathy. I just think, I think it's good to have a few humans that are really bad at keeping themselves organised to make the rest of us feel like winners.
Oh, is that it?
You just take a positive from it.
Okay, you're struggling, but I'm all right.
It's a nice spin, except if you're sat next to them in the cinema, or it's like the idea of a prolonged experience next to. I'll give you an example. I was on a budget airline recently because I know how to live.
Yeah, flight must be horrific, yeah.
And what happened is it wasn't body odour, but it was halitosis.
Oh, that's worse. That's
and what was really worse. Surprising is it was, and this is going to sound terrible, but who cares? It was a very attractive young woman.
Mm. Oh, right. So you're getting mixed signals there.
My body doesn't know what to do with this.
Chaos.
I'm all over the shop.
Gorgeous, but repulsive.
Yeah. It was a lot of push and pull factors.
Yeah.
It's great the way that my marriage isn't one of those factors. No, it's really just the halitosis that keeps me at bay. Sexually. Well, anyway, so, not good, right? And what I like to do is I've developed the art of a nap, a mid-air nap.
Uh-huh.
I don't know whether you guys can sleep on airplanes. A lot of people can't.
No, it's a good life skill.
There are a few freaks who manage to get down to what looks like a sort of deep rapid eye movement slumber before the jet has even closed its doors. You know, those people.
Do you think they train themselves to do
that? I don't know what's wrong with them.
Weirdos. Yeah.
But they are amazing.
Robots. I think they don't think about anything, and that's why it's so
soldiers or something, aren't they? They're like guerrilla fighters. They just lock in, like, boom, I'm asleep now.
Yeah.
I don't have that. So I'm not one of those people. But through, a sort of carefully managed, you know, coffee at the right time of the day and, you know, the body clock and everything, a lot of different factors. I picked up a device in an airport, and it's a strap. And the strap goes on the seat, on the head seat behind you, right? And then the other half of the strap goes around your forehead.
That's ridiculous.
And so it's not a good look.
It's not a good look. It looks like, it's like a sketch out of Not the 9 o'clock News with Rowan Atkinson. You look very, very strange.
Right.
But the strap is on the headrest behind you and then the other half is around your head. And what it does is that when you fall asleep and your head naturally nods forward, it just holds your head in position.
So you were wearing this when this attractive woman was sat next to you.
Yeah,
she probably created halitosis to repel you.
I think she was just eating like tripe just to...
keep this robot weirdo away.
So I've strapped my head to the thing and
sexy.
I wonder whether if there was a, God forbid, some kind of emergency, I think it's game over for me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because how quickly can I remove myself from that apparatus should there be a crash?
Was it Velcro? Is there no Velcro involved?
There's no Velcro.
With fire, Mark.
I think you know what it is. I think it's one of those strange sort of. It's like a belt buckle thing which you loosen.
That sounds way too.
Why do these
risky.
Exist?
What's it's a bit.
The point?
I've never seen anyone with this.
It's from Denmark. It's a Danish invention.
Have you seen other people with
this? No, I've never seen a soul use it before.
Now, do you want to ask yourself why that might be?
Yeah.
I think what it
because
is.
Because it's a terrible idea.
Why are you doing it to yourself?
Mark's using this as Dragon's Den-esque. Right? This is his invention.
But anyway, actually, funnily enough.
He took a bag strap, wrapped it around a chair.
I have used it twice, and you have a better sleep. Because the thing that wakes you up is your head nodding down, you see. So anyhow, so that's fine. And but her halitosis was so bad. And what I had to do is I had to move my head to the right just to be out of the little sort of, I don't know what you would call it, the airline or whatever. That's not the right word. But essentially,
the H zone.
I just had to move my head just to fall asleep. I had to have my head at an angle away from her. And I think that that's unacceptable. Halitosis is just not on.
Do you think she had a problem, medical problem?
Well, you know, she could have had a medical problem. I think when people travel, they don't really take care of themselves. They're normally, it's like an early flight. Maybe she's got up in the middle of the night, get to the airport, no breakfast.
Yeah.
Gastro-wise, it's not ideal, is it?
No, I hear you.
Your digestive system, it doesn't jump off the page. But anyway, I found it very offensive. And I think you are right that I think these days people are not as stinky as perhaps they once were.
No, I don't think
definitely
so.
Not, no.
But when you encounter someone, I mean, okay, so here's the thing. You're both being very liberal and understanding, which I like. It's nice.
It's a good thing,
I also,
yeah.
Can I just
Kerry doesn't mean it, because remember, she's a very bad person.
When I was 15, I think my nose was broken, and I actually haven't got that good a sense of smell. So I'm kind of not being
right,
liberal.
Now, right, so you're not.
Yeah, because Godleman is positively humming today.
Yeah, I stink, and he seems fine about it.
I'm not sure you got the train here. I think you ran here from South London by the looks of it.
So, I don't meet that many smelly people, but I did. I used to. I mean, I remember like having a teacher that stank.
Although, yeah, and that's always
teachers
tricky.
Are a stinky group
coffee
of
breath.
Breath.
Coffee
is the breath. Worst one, yeah.
But okay, so here's the thing. Are you both in relationships at the moment?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think smells can be a factor with your partner, can't they?
Ah, you see, it should be up to a partner to feedback.
Well, it should. So, for example, I've got a guilty pleasure. This is my little culinary tip of the day. It's so simple. It's not even a culinary tip, but I love mayonnaise. I adore mayonnaise. I only did, because I was born in 1974 and grew up in the 80s. We didn't really have
mayonnaise. Did you have salad cream?
Yeah, salad cream, which doesn't taste good, so I wound up having nothing.
I had mayonnaise, and I was born around that time.
You must have been middle class. You must have been up
above.
Maybe
we were middle class.
I don't think I've ever heard middle class and mayonnaise in the same sentence.
I think in the 80s it was like garlic. It was quite aspirational, wasn't it?
Yeah, you're right.
It's a sign that things were going really well.
Never invented those in those days.
No, I mean, mayo wasn't a thing. And I remember, I think I must have been a teenager and I was in Belgium and I saw someone dipping chips into mayonnaise.
Oh, that's glorious.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. So I love my mayonnaise. But you know what I do? I pimp it up. And what I do, I take mayonnaise and I squeeze garlic into it.
Wow.
And then a couple of chilies, mix it up.
Ooh.
I mean, it's basically garlic mayonnaise.
Sounds great.
It's heavenly. But there's some sort of chemical reaction that goes on, because if I eat that, my wife can't be near me for about 2 days.
That'll be the garlic.
And does she give it to you regularly?
I beg your pardon?
That's a good little tip.
Is she like,
you're like an innuendo
here's
machine.
Here's your mayonnaise, Mark. Don't come near me for 2 days.
I need a holiday.
There's a bit of that. It's a tremendous, the opposite of an aphrodisiac. But
yeah.
So I have to, if
you
if
do
I'm,
need a partner to keep these things in check.
If I'm anticipating any amorous behaviour, the garlic mayonnaise is going to have to just take a hike.
You're right. You have to choose.
I can't have garlic mayonnaise if there's going to be rogerization within
what
3 to 4 days.
What is your preference? Is it rogerization?
These days, garlic mayonnaise. It is really. Only because she's a very, very nice person, but just has noticeably let herself go since the second child.
Well, that's just part of life, isn't it? You just got to accept that. Okay. If you just turn to the mayonnaise. I know a man with a really hairy nose, and he's got a wife, and I'm like, whoa, this is a real malfunction of the wife.
Yeah.
You need to tell him. I mean, I'm not talking about just normal hair, but like...
That's a thing.
Pubes growing out of his... and I don't mean up the nose, on the bridge.
What?
And I'm like, well, why is she not giving you feedback?
Yeah.
That's what a spouse is for.
Correct. Mm. So you find it quite easy to tell your other halves that something's up?
Absolutely. Oh, no, not you.
What about alcohol? I tell you what, though, amorousness, rogerization, when one of you's been drinking, I always think that's a bit awkward.
It's a little bit weird, especially if they're, like, party mode up for it and you're sleepy, you know? Because it always happens towards the end.
If you haven't been drinking and you kiss someone that's been drinking, it tastes evil.
I quite
like
it.
Do you?
Yeah, I find
it. Is it a bit wrong?
Yeah, it's a little bit wrong. It's a bit illegal.
But it takes you to your teen years when you were in a discotheque.
Yeah, the smell of cigarettes and...
Some guy called Brian who's got his own car.
Yeah, a bit gropey.
See, that's we're from the era where gropey was like a good thing.
Yeah.
Gropey was what you were, that was a result, gropey.
Innocent grope, lovely times.
Yeah. What's the other one? Just general manhandling.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
A proper little, above clothes.
I just got to point out it's the radio, but Kerry just, she did a physical action with her hand such as to suggest reaching for a stranger's bosom and squeezing it. Is what you?
We did loads of that in the 80s.
We're back to the grooming, aren't we? All right, well, look, well, body odor notwithstanding, we're going to play a record and then we're going to talk we're actually going to get to a couple of stories because there's stuff to talk about. Bake Off next. It's the only story in town. How have we not even gone there yet? Kerry, most likely, will be hosting it in the next series. This is Dolan and Friends, and here's the Kinks, who I think we can agree are great.
Left me in my stately home, blazing on. afternoon, and I can't sail my yacht. He's taken everything I got. All I've got's this sunny afternoon. Save me, save me, save me from this squeeze. I got a big fat mama trying to break me. And I love to live so pleasantly. Live this life of luxury, blazing on the sunny. Now I'm sitting here, sipping at my ice cold beer, blazing on the sunny afternoon. Help me, help me, help me sail away. Well, give me two good reasons why.
Presents
Peter Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
How would you react if you were disturbed during Netflix and chill by a person?
Pull out.
pull out the deal.
Been interrupted quite a few times.
Have you? How do you react generally?
It's just all quite funny, isn't it?
Okay, yeah. Cool. So how about if you're one of your parents?
That's happened as well. Yeah.
No way.
I just went absolutely skits.
No!
Every Wednesday,
Payne and Sylvester Incorporated with Michael Payne and Harley Sylvester from Rizzle Kicks.
From 4 p.m. on FUBAR Radio.
Jake Pickford and Kerry Godleman with us in the studio. Kerry is on tour at the moment, Stick or Twist. And have your team created a website which is like stickortwisttour.com or something?
No. They're all on Live Nation. All the dates and tickets are on Live Nation it's all easy to get.
And when does the tour... When does it end, actually?
Ends at the end of October.
Lovely. So physically, how are you? Because it's full on, isn't it? Solo show.
You have to look after yourself, don't you? You have to do a few things to keep your health in check.
Yeah.
But I've got some nice support, like people supporting me.
Well, yeah, what types of people have been supporting
Jen Brister's doing some.
Oh, genius.
Love her. And yeah. She's a lovely friend. And Sarah Keyworth's doing some.
Brilliant. Sarah's
so
great. Good.
Yeah. So, and a few people, different people for different dates. Tom Price is doing one.
You made a sort of unusual decision to actually get funny people to
I know,
to
it's
be
risky business. But
that's very brave.
I know, but I feel confident that they will do the warming up process.
Because what I'll do like an hour for you if you want. And I'll do like, I'll do not tried out topical
You'll
material.
You'll make them hate comedy by
will,
the time
actually.
I get
I will,
on.
I will, I will, I will. You just got to walk on stage reeking of body odour and they're still going to love you. Do you know what I mean? Halitosis, who cares? At least it's not that guy. And also, what's the format? So do you do... is it two halves with an interval?
No, I have a support that comes on and does 20, 30, and then we have an interval, great. And then I come out and
it's
do
it. It's USA
out.
Style.
I prefer that style.
I think it's perfect. I think it's
as a punter and as a performer.
I think it's like having to make the souffle rise twice if you've got two halves.
I agree. And I just sort of feel a bit like, I think an hour, especially with this whole, like you say, US thing, like the special, an hour is good. There's some comedians I adore, but I don't want to listen to them for more than an hour.
No, I think it presents challenges in terms of the energy of the evening, the narrative arc of the show. It creates a lot of different challenges. Do you have ambitions stateside? Because I haven't even mentioned, apart from your various appearances on the top comedy formats and TV shows in the country and Live at the Apollo and everything else, the creme de la creme, but also unbelievably brilliant performance in Derek, which was such a great, funny, moving sitcom.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, thank
you.
Know,
it's great. And of course, what's exciting about Derek is it was made by HBO.
It was co-pro with Channel 4.
Channel 4.
Yeah.
And so, but it was obviously, it was on in America as well.
That's right.
And
it
did well in America.
It did well in America.
So you've like...
I've got some traction.
People
stateside.
In America have been watching you on TV.
Well, also, I, on the back of that, did a Christopher Guest film, which is coming out in a couple of weeks on Netflix. So I went over, I'd never been to the States, and I went, Chris Guest had
You hadn't
seen,
been into America before.
I'd never been into America. Actually, I'd been to New York for a few days on our honeymoon.
All right.
But that's the only time I'd ever been to America.
In a hotel bedroom.
I saw some of it. So I got a kind of dream phone call where my agent rang up and went, Christopher Guest saw you in Derek and he wonders if you'd like to come over to LA and be in his movie.
What a sentence.
I mean, it did take a long time
did
for
you
me
say,
to stop
I'm
thinking,
so
is
sorry.
This a wind-up?
Yeah. I'm
you,
actually doing, I'm doing a weekend at Watford Johnford.
I saw Johnford's Watford in the diary. I did keep ringing them back and saying, look, let me just be clear, is this an availability check? Is this, I wanted to be absolutely sure that it wasn't a wind-up, but it wasn't, and I went and I did it, and it's on Netflix in a couple of weeks.
Extraordinary, and he's one of the greats of film
he's
comedy.
One of the greats.
And you're now, you know,
I'm
what's
in the
next?
Ensemble.
Were you going to be in the next Woody Allen film, maybe?
Oh my God, can you imagine? If we just ignore all the dodgy...
Kerry, you and I, we're going to kiss. And it's not going to look weird even though I'm 230 years old.
Yeah, I mean, like that, I suppose that is Woody Allen and Christopher Guest in terms of film
that
comedy.
That would do it, yeah. Mm.
Yeah, they're the big
and
guys.
And then an action-adventure directed by Spielberg, and then away we go.
Oh.
E.T. the remake, you could maybe...
I could be the...
That could
Elliot.
Be.
The no. alien.
The alien.
I did wonder where Jake was going as he looked to you and went, E.T.
Yeah,
the remake.
Yeah.
She's like, listen, she's got young kids, she's on tour, it's not easy.
It was just the Spielberg, that was all it
it's
was.
It's hot outside.
Promise.
She decided...
You'd look great
would,
in a hoodie.
I think I'd make a great alien.
And that's it. But and what about stand up in the States?
I did
as
a few
well?
Gigs while I was out there. So I was out there for 5 weeks, and I did put some gigs in. But I,
how
have
did
you
it feel?
Different.
A little bit, yes.
Different.
It is different.
It's totally different. Like I had to do that thing which you'll have done then, go through your set for all those cultural references, and you suddenly realise
so
there's a lot of them. But conversely, I like it that they kind of laugh hard for things that UK audiences just wouldn't. I'm wearing shoes, Americans would be like, ah, she's wearing shoes. Whereas people here are like, so what, get on with it.
Yeah, what they do is American audiences are quite invested in what they're watching.
Yeah,
they're like, they sort of big you up. It's
they meet
like,
you more than halfway.
That's it. I think they think that they're in the show because for me, the whole of America just is show business. I don't know. When you arrive
LA,
in the States.
Like when I did some gigs there, a couple of other, because you know there's a lot of Brit comics living out there.
Just a bit, yeah.
So I hung out with a few of them and I was like nervous about gigging. And they were like, look, just one thing to bear in mind is that a lot of the people on the bill with you won't even be what you consider to be stand-ups. They're actors that are just having a go. Yeah.
Right.
Because because everybody's in the business, so they all want a platform and a stage and blah, blah, blah. Whereas here, stand-up. You know, it's quite a clearly defined sort of circuit in a scene. and then there's impro, and then there's other stuff and sketch and all the different things, whereas there it all gets very muddy and it's a lot of overlap.
Yeah, someone else mentioned that to me, the fact that basically there's just a load of people that are trying to audition for films and they just want to bulk out their CV and kind of practice
so
their
put
public
stand-up
speaking
on there. Plus impro, like USB and all that stuff's quite big out there. It's not as niche.
It's an actual thing, and Tina Fey, Steve Carell and many others all
came through
impro.
And a lot of the Chris Guest lot came through that kind of scene.
One thing I should ask you, and touched on it last week with Shazia Mirza.
Oh, I love Shazia.
And another excellent comic, which is American comedy is definitely huge at the moment globally. People like Louis C.K. he's on a world tour. Mm. I mean, American comedy has always been exported, but American stand-up now seems to be just the big thing. I suspect it's to do with YouTube and social media and everything.
For sure,
So he's obviously amazing. And then you have the likes of Sarah Silverman and Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you whether you find aspects of what people like Amy Schumer and comics who work in that genre, just the harshness of the comedy and also the slightly kind of depressing sort of message that some of these comics have, which is, oh, I'm disgusting, I'm a whore, I'm just there to give men blowjobs and stuff like that. I don't think I'm explaining this very well, but
I know what you mean.
Shazia felt that a lot of the comedy that's kind of dressed up as feminism is in fact very unfeminist, and it's regressive.
What do you think? I'm a big fan of Amy Schumer, and I think sometimes there's a difference between low self-worth and honesty. Mm. And it is a fine line, but I think that sometimes just saying those things out loud is actually quite empowering, and young women hearing it being articulated smartly and funnily is actually quite empowering. It's not like, oh, yeah, we're all shit, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, right, we all go through this stuff. We're all neurotic about this stuff, and we're still functioning fine. It's just kind of like a big therapy session where you go, yeah, being a human's tricky sometimes. Let's all just throw up and share it and move on. It's not, oh, you know, let's all kind of wallow in this.
Yeah,
I love Amy Schumer. I think she's incredible.
I think so. I think the material's incredible, and she's a great performer. So what
is
there to worry
about? A lot of her stuff
about?
Is about sex and stuff like that. And I think who was doing? I mean, yeah, you mentioned Sarah Silverman, but when you consider that there was no women doing that ever before, not
Lisa Lampanelli's quite a good example.
When was she doing?
God, 90...
Lisa Lampanelli.
Lisa Lampanelli, yeah.
She's the pre-YouTube. She's a pre-YouTube thing.
Page three in the 80s, I believe.
Really? Wow, they were a lot more less picky.
See, that's the thing. That's because of YouTube. I can watch all these people now that I couldn't watch them before.
But I think the thing about that is there is a lot of female comics doing the kind of stuff that you see, like Sarah Silverman, who I think has become sort of more... shock value and less sort of clever with her comedy the more famous that she's got, but I don't think that's a specific to women thing. I think
maybe it's just American comedy
because Louis C.K. does some pretty
harsh and shocking
hundreds of male comics.
I love America so much. I love American stand-up so much.
I love American stand-up,
but when I watch it I do think, God, how broken is America, because a lot of the stand-ups it seems to be the commodities are sort of, it's quite harsh humour, quite dark, quite nihilistic, quite edgy. And a lot
of
sex.
I like that.
But what you're amazing about you is that you can cover all those things, but then wrapped in this charm and
that
this accessibility.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
It's true, isn't it?
But yeah, that's essentially what I think. Yeah, and Sarah Silverman tried to do that for a long time. She's got a sweet, innocent kind of look about her that's kind of like, I can get away with saying this because you don't expect it.
Yeah.
But I think, like, you know, I think that American comedy is kind of pushing British comedy down a bit in terms of people's opinions of what's better. I think there's some amazing British comics out there. Mm. People just don't even give a chance, or people slag off because they're mainstream.
What kinds of people would you include?
I'm even
in
talking
that?
Like, you know, people like
McIntyre.
McIntyre. I like Michael McIntyre.
Oh, he's extraordinary.
I don't care what
he's comedian.
Yeah, Russell Howard, I think, is a fantastic comic. You know, Jimmy Carr as well. He's another one that's sort of dark. He started to merge.
But none of
America.
Them are having a struggling career. They're all
I'm
doing
not
pretty
too worried about
those
three are doing okay.
No, okay, yeah, but like, the sort of lower level British comics, maybe like I can't think of any examples right now. Why did you ask me
that? No, well, hold that thought. I tell you what we're going to do. Let's touch on a couple of things before we go. First of all, actually, we're on the subject of comics, and I love the fact that it's not a story about you or Amy Schumer or anyone else being a female comic. That's over now, isn't it?
I hope so. Although it does still kind of come up now and then.
Does it? You get lazy press interviews.
Well,
where
you
they
do.
Say,
I had to do. I did a radio. I didn't have to. I wasn't forced. I was asked to do a radio interview the other day because she got heckled and someone shouted, "Get your tits out," or something like
okay.
that. So they gathered together a group of female comedians to discuss it, and you're like, here we are again having yeah. this conversation. Yeah. Which is sometimes a bit.
Well, I'm definitely not going there. Comedy and comedians, and that's it. Funny or not funny. I tell you what, I want to ask you though. It's a feminist question, and it's been two different stories about body image in relation to models. Now, here's the headline in today's Mail Online: High anorexia, teenage Russian model hits back at new eating disorder claims with a picture of herself eating burger and chips as she auditions for London Fashion Week. And this was a Russian teenage model who caused uproar because people were just so shocked at how thin she was. She's like, leave me alone, I eat, I've got a fast metabolism,
right,
cut me some slack. Similarly, Victoria Beckham's latest show featured some very skinny models. She herself is quite skinny, and they themselves also said, hey, this is our job, please don't denigrate us, we are thin but we eat. And so I just wondered, is it okay for models to be thin?
Yeah,
I don't know another version of reality where they're not thin. I mean, like, they're not going to get the gig if they're not super thin. And that yeah. is unfortunate. And the upshot of all of that is the impact it just has on young women.
Regular,
that's the sad yeah. side of it, because people sort of, they normalise what isn't normal.
So
it's
if you
not
could
normal
change it,
to be that
if
thin.
If you could change it, you would.
I think it would be preferable, but there are lots of things about our media that project versions of reality that we all know in the real world aren't realistic.
Yeah, I mean, the J. Crew... Similarly, or sorry, not similarly, but on the same story, but controversially, in a good way, they had their collection was modelled by real customers.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And
how did
great.
That do? That was
it did really
successful.
Well.
That's
they look,
brilliant.
They were attractive people. They looked great, yeah. but they had what you would call normal bodies, I guess.
Yeah.
And
do you remember when Dove did that campaign with...
But what did you think of the Dove campaign?
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah. Any effort to kind of normalise diversity, I'm all for it.
But in the same respect, what you have to be careful of is it not going full circle and then just making anyone that's... Because there are some people out there who have a natural slim build, like yourself, you know?
I'm
you
holding don't wanna... it all in. This is Spanx.
yeah.
I've got are you eating?
I've actually got new Spanx that go up to your neck, which are amazing.
Do you only eat garlic chips?
I haven't actually exhaled since you guys came into the studio.
Great breath
I'm
going
to black out in a second. Yeah, it could
you're
be...
right. You're saying body shaming
you know
is a bad thing, like, either side.
Regardless of how it is. Yeah.
I agree, that's true. But that we all know that those models are probably a little bit undernourished.
Yeah, for sure. Mm. In the same
and just saying that that's okay and, you know, hey, let's celebrate sort of undernourishment is
but,
a bit...
Yeah, but in the same way, making a big deal about having normal-sized models yeah. seems kind of counterproductive.
Well, you need
as
balance
well.
Before you get good times.
So maybe sure. what they need to do is eat some cake. But they won't be eating cake that they've learned how to make by watching... The Great British
oh,
Bake Off.
Oh, that was an amazing
was,
link.
Yeah.
It was, and I think I did
you
it.
You were born for radio links.
Did it in a really unwooden way, didn't I?
Loved I? It. I
it was
loved
effortless.
It.
Yeah. Bake Off is over. It is the biggest story of the week. The bottom line is that the BBC were outbid to the tune of £25 million per year. So Channel 4 have signed a three-year £75 million deal for the Bake Off. It's a huge show in the region of 10 to 15 million viewers. It's the biggest show on TV that isn't a soap. So on the one hand, that's money well spent. But two things. Should the BBC have broken the bank to keep it? And secondly, will it work without Mel and Sue and the original cast?
I don't know.
Have you ever never watched it?
I've watched it a few times. It sounds like The Simpsons all over again, right? They did that with The Simpsons.
Yeah.
They should
have,
did they?
They should have, yeah, they should have kept The Simpsons. They should have paid through the eyes. Yeah.
And they let it go.
And they let it go to the Channel 4.
Do you think the BBC mm. should be empowered just to sometimes break the bank?
Yeah.
It's only
know.
A few
I
years
don't know.
Ago.
I think that sometimes money isn't everything. And if the conversation just only exclusively in the end just comes down to money... then that's a sad time. I just think
And with your knowledge of television entertainment, do you think that all that really matters is the format? In other words, are Channel 5 laughing? Sorry, I keep saying Channel 5. Are Channel 4 laughing because the bottom line is they've got the brand,
yeah,
they've
but they
got
haven't
the
got
format.
Soon now, have
How
they?
Important is the talent?
I think it's crucial.
Very.
I mean, I can't imagine that show's going to be the
but
same
with,
show.
With people like Jamie Oliver rumoured to be one of the potential judges.
Well, that's fine.
You've got Davina McCall fronts
it. But that's a different show. That's a different show. If they've nurtured something from the very beginning on that channel, well, BBC Two, and then the transmission over to, you know, over to BBC One, but they've been part of it. They've evolved with it, and it will become something else.
For sure. Like, if you look at Top Gear, then you're an idiot. But if you feel the need, if you feel the need to watch Top Gear, same with that. They obviously got rid of the main sort of people that were presenting it, moved it to a different channel.
Yeah.
And within like a week, no one watched it, right?
No.
So I imagine it could go.
These things
way.
Are really delicate, and actually, when something is built up with a selection of personalities and lots of ingredients, and I should come up with loads of baking analogies now.
Ingredients,
it's very, very delicate. It's a delicate little ecosystem, and if you change the ingredients, you're baking a different cake.
Oh my God, nicely done. I personally can't watch it because of gluten intolerance. I can't, and also I'm slightly allergic to Paul Hollywood. So I do you know what I mean?
Are they going to do it?
I come out in hives. We don't know yet.
Oh, right.
It's a big old question mark. I tell you what, though, go to Facebook and check out FUBAR on Facebook, because we've got a hilarious comedy sketch about it, and it really is hysterical, and features Sue Perkins. It's highly recommended. I'll tell you what's also highly recommended. Highly recommended is Kerry Goldman, just generally, who is on tour. Most of it's sold out, but basically people should go to Live Nation. They put Kerry Goldman in there, and any remaining tickets for your shows will be available, and they'll come and see you, and then what will happen is they'll laugh with their bodies.
That would be great. That's the hopeful outcome.
You've been awesome. So has Jake Pickford. We'll see you soon. This has been FUBAR.
Mark Dolan eats the news on FUBAR Radio.